I'm going to turn now to the Ferguson story because we have a guest online. We're going to be joined for a few minutes by senior NAACP Legal Defense Fund counsel Vincent Sutherland, who is on the line. Mr. Sutherland, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Don.
Just bring us up to speed on what it is that the Defense Fund is seeking and where you are in your whole process of your investigation of the Ferguson grand jury.
Sure. So what the Legal Defense Fund did was back on January 5th, we submitted a letter to the presiding judge of the 21st Judicial Circuit Court in St. Louis County. And basically what we were seeking was ways in which to restore integrity and fairness to this process. Our review of the grand jury transcripts, which were released by Mr. McCulloch's office, and with the assistance of Missouri lawyers and lawyers across the country, looking at these transcripts revealed a number of irregularities and concerns about the way in which the proceedings were conducted, from Mr. McCulloch's admitted presentation of evidence that he knew was false, to instructions to the grand jurors that were riddled with concerning errors, to their encouragement of behavior on the part of the individual grand jurors that would fall outside the confines of what a judge actually ordered them to do, which was not conduct their own investigation of the case. And so what we really sought was for the presiding judge of the St. Louis County Circuit Court to take a look at these proceedings and investigate them, and if the investigation revealed those types of concerns that we had raised in our letter, to appoint a special prosecutor to take remedial action in this particular case.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask what the response has been. I know you've just received word from them.
So we did receive response from the Director of Judicial Administration for the St. Louis County Circuit Court, and that response really really focused on the Code of Judicial Conduct to prohibit a judge from permitting ex parte communications about a matter or a pending matter or an impending matter that may come before the court. And so the judge did not respond to us directly, but rather the court administrator did. And what we did in response to that letter was actually seek further clarification of what pending matter or impending matter the court was referencing that would make this our communication an ex parte communication that would possibly violate this Code of Judicial Conduct. And so we're seeking further clarification from the court regarding their response, and hopefully we'll follow up in turn once we get that clarification.
There are a number of other individuals and organizations that are seeking essentially the same sort of thing that you are. There's an ethics project here in Missouri which has filed a similar complaint. Four separate activists have gotten into it. There's an individual grand juror who basically wants some more information released on all of this. Are you coordinating at all with any of these people or these entities?
Well, you know, we've certainly been in touch with all these entities and worked with all these entities at one point or another over the course of our work in Ferguson. And one of the things that we want to be sure that we do and what we've always done in the past is make sure that the voices of local advocates and local lawyers and the community who is most harmed and most affected by these issues plays a prominent and dominant role in the conversation. And so we continue to support those efforts by the Ferguson Legal Defense Committee and local Missouri lawyers, by the Ethics Project and by the ACLU of Missouri, all raising and drawing attention to the integrity of this grand jury process and really raising some serious questions along the lines that we had about all that happened during the proceedings to try and indict Officer Wilson.
Well, let me assure you, if you don't know it already, and I'm sure you do, that there are plenty of people here who are watching this part of it because there are so many folks who are involved with these kinds of complaints. So if I understand correctly, what you've done is respond to the response you received yesterday. So the next step, I suppose, is waiting for a response from the county judge.
That's correct, yes. We got our response last week. We sent a letter back and followed up with a phone call to try and get a response from the Director of Judicial Administration. And once we receive that response, we'll kind of act accordingly. But in the meantime, and I'm sure this will be true going forward, we'll continue to support the efforts of local advocates and local partners who are raising these very same issues and very same concerns with the grand jury proceedings.
I have three attorneys with me here for this program. I think, Bill, did you have a question you wanted to put to him?
Yes, I have a question. Good morning. Do you know of any, is there any precedent for what you're asking the judge to do, either in Missouri or elsewhere, where a grand jury has declined to indict, the prosecutor who was in charge of the grand jury has moved forward and announced that no true bill has no difficulties with the decision of the grand jury. Do you know of any case where a judge then has said, well, we're going to start this over, have a special prosecutor and a new grand jury?
Well, there's certainly been cases in Missouri, older cases in Missouri, where there was a finding that the prosecutor who was involved in the particular prosecution of a case had some type of an interest or a bias in that particular matter, and therefore refused to prosecute the case in the manner in which they should proceed. And at that point, the court stepped in, appointed a special prosecutor, and moved forward in that matter and convened in the grand jury. And the proceedings kind of took place going forward after that. But, you know, part of the concern here is that what happened in this particular case really seems, in many ways, unprecedented. You have the chief law enforcement officer basically saying that he knowingly presented testimony of witnesses who he knew were lying before the grand jury, and allowing that testimony to proceed and infect the process. And so those types of concerns really raise kind of unprecedented levels of concerns regarding this process and call for measures that, while they may not be the most popular and may not have taken place in a significant number of cases, really should be able to meet the concerns that are raised in this particular case.
Unless some of my colleagues here at the table have a question for you, Sarah, I'm going to thank you so much for being with us and bringing us up to speed on what the NAACP Legal Defense Fund is doing in this Ferguson matter. Thank you so much, Vincent Sutherland.
Thanks so much for having me. Take good care.
Keep us posted on what's going on. I'm sure we'll be hearing about it.
Definitely will.